reading the Passion narratives, three words became prominent for me. Gardens, trees, and lambs. Three simple words, three impressive symbols. All three provide images of calm, silence, innocence. Yet the role each experienced in the history of our salvation is far from calm, far from silent, and far from innocence. Much like ourselves, our outward appearances may be calm, may be silent, even look innocent, but they mask the storms and noise and dysfunction that mars our lives. The Garden of Creation. It became the site of doubt, self-centeredness, betrayal, guilt, and shame. The Garden of Gethsemane was the site of the Lamb of God's anguish, of taking on all the sins of the fall of man, sins of Adam, Eve, every descendant, you and me. The Garden of Gethsemane, where and when the Son began to feel the immense separation from the Father, resulting from our ancient sinfulness. How cold and lonely and desolate that garden became to Jesus. The irony. One of his favorite places to pray became a place of temptation, agony, and torment. But keep in mind, a garden witnessed the resurrection. A tree in the Garden of Creation held the fruit our first parents spied and eyed and chose and plucked and held. The temptation of what will this fruit do for me was too much for them to withstand. And they held pride in their hands and they consumed their selfishness came consumed by it. The tree of knowledge of good and bad offered the irresistible temptation. Another tree, fashioned from it a cross, became the place of offering, the altar upon which the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. The sin of our very first parents, our ancient sinfulness. The tree of knowledge of good and bad held the fruit of temptation, sin, and guilt. The tree became the doorway for sin and death to enter the world. The cross, the tree of life, bore the fruit of sacrifice and love, the precious blood of the Lamb. That cross, that tree, became the doorway through which salvation entered the world and leads us to everlasting life. Dear sweet little lambs, white, soft, gentle. They're beautiful symbols of purity and innocence and vulnerability. Lambs can be easily led. For centuries, lambs were led to slaughter as victims of sacrifice for offenses they had absolutely no association with, no guilt whatsoever. Their innocence, their purity was their undoing. It made them perfect recipients to cast guilt and shame upon. Through the centuries, millions upon millions of pure, innocent lambs were offered to take away the sins of those who led them to slaughter. The atonement was temporary. The sacrifice needed repeated year after year. On the original Good Friday, thousands of white, soft, gentle, pure, innocent, vulnerable lambs were slaughtered in the temple. The holiest of places, the temple. The house of the holiest of holies was a slaughterhouse. Description of the carnage is not appropriate for this time and place. The scent of blood and the bleeding were too intense for description. If Jesus cried out during the scourging, I doubt his screams were heard over the screams and cries of thousands of innocent lambs. The pure, innocent Lamb of God's cries joined the cries of all the pure, innocent lambs that died that day and the centuries of lambs that died before them, all led to slaughter. A certain man named Simon of Cyrene and his young sons Alexander and Rufus witnessed the slaughter of those lambs. Actually, they were there to participate. They brought their own lamb along for sacrifice. It would be Alexander's and Rufus's first experience of Passover in the holy city of Jerusalem. And as they moved through a narrow street toward the temple, Simon noticed something wasn't right. The flow of traffic wasn't right. The flow of traffic was increasing and clamoring. It was heading straight for them. A torrent of people flooded against it. Simon turned to his sons and he said, "Be careful. Don't lose the lamb. Watch the lamb." And no sooner had the words escaped his mouth, Simon was yanked from their sight. "Daddy, Daddy." They held tight to the lamb. Their daddy was forced to help a criminal. The pure and innocent man carried a tree, his cross. The boys, dazed, stunned, and confused, were caught in the torrent of the crazed crowd. The flow carried them to a hill outside of the city, and they washed up. Base of that hill, still dazed, still stunned, still confused. And as they gathered their senses, they looked up and they noticed at the top of the hill was a cross, the tree. At the top of the hill stood the tree their daddy helped that man carry. On that tree hung the man. Fear gripped them as they eyed the ghastly sight. But out of mercy, they soon caught sight of Simon, and they rushed to him. Feelings of guilt and shame overwhelmed their feelings of relief at finally being reunited with their father. Sobbing almost uncontrollably, "Daddy, Daddy, we lost the lamb. We got lost and confused and we lost the lamb. Please forgive us, Daddy." And Simon knelt beside his two small sons. In tears, he hugged and kissed them and forgave them. Then he turned them to face the tree, the man that hung upon it, and said, "My dear children, watch the lamb." Dear friends, today we ponder gardens and trees and lambs. We go so far as to behold and venerate the wood of a tree, the cross. Above all this day and every day hereafter, Watch the Lamb and follow him closely.